Hello, dear sisters, and welcome to Feminine Focus. This teleclass is all about how to move from confusion and procrastination to clarity and courage. And I'm just going to put this into noisy mode for a minute so that we can all say hello to one another. So I'm going to count 1, 2, 3, and then I want you to just say hello from wherever you are. So 1, 2, 3. Oh my gosh, that was so fun. Cool. Well, I'm just thrilled to be here with you today. We have a ton of women on the call. I am Misha Moodley, and I will be guiding this journey that we are all on this evening, or perhaps this afternoon, depending on where in the world you are right now. So I'm so happy to have so many people calling in from all over the world. What a community we have here. Nearly 800 women from all over the planet signed up for this call, and I'm so extremely delighted and excited to welcome all of you here to our call today. And this really is our call. Well, although I have the line on mute and will be mostly monologuing, I want to be clear that this call is for you, and you have at the end of the call an opportunity to share, bringing your voice into the conversation as well. So to start, I have an important question. Have you ever been at a dinner party where someone is telling a story in a very animated way, and you look across the table to see someone else deeply engrossed in their iPhone? Have you noticed that that one distracted person messes with the focus of the entire table? They just sort of suck some of the energy out of the conversation. So since we're talking about feminine focus today, we are not going to be that person at the table staring at their iPhone. Because that's what we do, right? Part of what enables the confusion and procrastination to keep going in our lives is that we all, you know, sometimes experience it, but it's because of distraction, right? Checking Facebook and emails obsessively rather than getting our important work done. Watching television instead of doing something creative, eating junky snacks instead of engaging in real self-care. And all of these things come from a lack of clarity and focus, and then create even greater lack of clarity and focus, the bad hamster wheel. So tonight we're going to collectively stand for breaking those awful patterns of distraction, and we're going to actually live feminine focus, not just listen, not just talk about it. So tonight I have no fancy Twitter hashtags. I won't be giving away prizes for getting people on the call. I just want to be here with all of you right now, really present and really focused. And this call is just over an hour long, which is not a ton of time in the grand scheme of your week. And I really just invite you to take this time for you. So please, unless you're listening online, close the internet, shut the door perhaps to the room you're in, stop multitasking if you're trying, sign out of Facebook, and instead just find yourself a notebook and a pen. I will give you bonus points for finding a notebook and a pen that you love. And get yourself a glass of water, maybe get a fresh glass of water. And if you can, perhaps light yourself a candle or move a vase of flowers so it's within view. Something to sort of beautify the environment. Something else to help you focus on instead of the distraction of the internet or your phone. Anything that will help you feel calm, relaxed, and present. Because truly, I have been thinking about you for the last few weeks, and thinking about how to call in the perfectly perfect group of women to share with, to gather with, and to create for. And that's you. So thanks for being here. I want to share a little bit about why I've put this call together. For one, At the end of this call, I'll be sharing a program that I've created, and I want to give you an idea of what that program will be like, so this call will help you experience that. But I also know that there's no way all of you are going to sign up for a program, and I'm okay with that. I expect it. I fully expect it. So there's something more. And the real deeper reason I'm here with you today is that I want to be of service. I want to give. And that's the honest truth. You know, creating this teleclass and everything that went with it, the page, the video, you know, all those little moving pieces took a lot of focus, a massive amount of focus, I would say. And not just mine, but my whole team, which, you know, when it was all totaled up was 5 people. That was a lot of focus. And it's honestly way too much time and effort for money alone. We do it because we're mission-driven. And I am driven by my desire to help women create more freedom in their lives because I myself have been really unfree at different points in my life. And anything I can do to help women shorten the learning curve on their path to freedom in their own lives is worth all the time and effort in the world to me. If you already know me, I'm just going to ask that you bear with me for 60 seconds while I let the rest of these wonderful women get to know me, since I'll be talking for the next hour. Again, my name is Nisha Moodley, and I'm the founder of Fierce, Fabulous, and Free, where I help change-making women create more freedom in their lives and businesses. And I'm going to spare you all the details of my 33 years on the planet, but I will share with you what I believe. And it's based on my history as a former food addict, a broke shopaholic, and a workaholic who worked over 100 hours a week, no joke. And also based on what I've seen with the many women I've worked with. So what I believe and what I've actually come to understand is that as women, we are awesome, natural caretakers. And when we are attending to our own personal freedom, when we're going after what we want and feeling a sense of inner peace, a sense of wholeness, regardless of what we have, we can actually alchemize that natural caretaking into incredible change-making in the world. And so my personal mantra is that as women's freedom deepens, our ripple effect broadens. And I've really dedicated my life to this understanding that we have to live the way that we want to give. And so tonight we're going to talk about how to cultivate powerful feminine focus so that we can have a life we love and make the kind of impact that we want to make in the world. So to start us off, in the spirit of women gathering, which is a tradition that's been practiced throughout time, we're just doing it in a very modern way. Let's do a brief exercise that will create a feeling of unity and community among us and really kick us off in embodying the kind of feminine focus that I'm talking about. So this is your, and I'm going to give you another chance if you're still finding yourself distracted, checking your email, hanging out on Facebook, any of that kind of stuff, to just close it out, be present, be here. There's no point in being on a call about focus if you're going to be distracted, right? So bring you here now. So wherever you're sitting, I want you to just take a moment and look around you. Really take in the room. You'll notice the things that you might look at all the time, but I want you to start to notice some of the smaller details. I'm looking around now and I'm noticing the grain and the hardwood floor. I'm noticing the pattern on the china dishes on the wall. Just really take in the room, noticing those small details. Without going into stories about how you should really dust more often, and instead just notice the way that a child would. As you're taking in the room with your eyes open, I want you to slowly take a deep breath. And as you exhale, gently close your eyes. And with eyes closed, just take a few natural breaths here. You don't have to change your breath, just breathe. I want you to now imagine that you are sitting on a sturdy tree stump. It's nighttime, and you're sitting around a crackling campfire on your sturdy tree stump with a big group of women all sitting in a circle. Beneath you, you feel really supported by this tree, and you can envision the roots spreading out beneath the earth, really grounded beneath you. And in the circle of women there around the fire, there's a sense of peace, connection, safety. There's a really easy, natural understanding of mutual support. These women have your back, and you have theirs. And each woman around this circle, around the fire, has her own story that she shares. Her own heartbreaks, excitements, dreams, her own desks to clean up. And in each of those unique stories, you can find a sense of unity, of sisterhood. These women are your sisters. You understand them. You may not have had the same life experience as them, but you can understand how they feel. And you want them to have amazing lives, and they want that for you too. There, together, around the campfire, there's no pressure to be any which way, no pressure to perform. You can just be yourself. However you feel is okay. And you can be your fully expressed, ambitious self sometimes and be supported in going for it. All of who you are is okay. Feeling that sense of comfort and peace, I want you to look at the center of the circle, at the fire. And looking at that fire, I want you to just see if you can see it more clearly. See the flame dancing, the sparks rising through the air, the burning embers. Just really see it in high definition. Now, watching that fire dance, I want you to see if you can also feel the warmth of the fire. Maybe it's on your legs, your face. I want you to smell the burning wood, the smell of smoke, and hear it crackling. Really savor the experience of sitting by that fire, taking it all in through your senses. And sitting there on this sturdy tree trunk, looking around at your community that accepts and supports you, being warmed and soothed and delighted by this fire, I want you to close your eyes there and allow a sense of knowing to wash over you, recognizing that this space of sisterhood is where you can accomplish anything. Obstacles are removed almost miraculously. The answers that you crave are within reach, and all of your greatest desires are available to you. And just breathing in that knowing for a moment, feel the warmth of the fire on your body, hear the crackling sounds and the distant sounds of laughter, and just allow a smile to spread across your face. When you're feeling warm and ready, you can open your eyes and come back. So that, my sisters, is the safe and supportive circle of women that you have here today. Because sharp and strong feminine focus starts in the space of supported sisterhood. After all, how would you raise happy, healthy kids without the help of trusted women? Who would you turn to when your relationship is struggling? What would you do to make sure your actions are aligned with your intuition? If not for women to help make that connection. who in your life will help cheer you on and believe in you and make sure that your life is filled with absolute magic? Women. All great things happen in the space of sisterhood. So now that we've created that space, let's talk about the four steps of feminine focus. Because until you have a clear vision of what you want and have the courage to go for it, no strategies or blueprints or systems are going to help you. And I know you know what I'm talking about because we've all been there, absorbing everything that we can possibly find. If you want to be a change maker, that change has to start with you in your own life. And so today we're going to talk about how to create the space for clarity and focus so you can know in your bones what actions to take in your life. You can stop burning out and feeling overwhelmed, feeling confused, procrastinating. And my friend Liana Silver describes what I'm talking about as putting your masculine in service of your feminine. In other words, it's about allowing strategy and action, which are great things, to be in service of and in the space of a deeper sense of clarity and inner knowing. The clarity and inner knowing come first, and the action and strategy are in service of it. So before I go into these four steps of feminine focus, if you are a note-taking nerd like me and you want your notes to be pretty and organized, how this is going to work is I'm going to go over a step, and then I'm going to give you a few focal points for that step. And those are your actionable items. And then we're going to move on to the next step and more focal points. All right, so step one of finding your feminine focus is to make your work play. So I don't know about you, but I often make things way, way harder than they have to be. I was actually leading a retreat in New Mexico a couple of weeks ago, and I brought my coach along to bring even more support and awesomeness to my women, which was fantastic. And after the retreat, when she was coaching me, she had me doing a writing exercise, and she looked at me and she said, "And while you do this, just relax your body." And I literally laughed out loud because we are so conditioned to equate focus with tightness and tense shoulders and a determined look on our faces and furrowed brows. Like, that's what the picture of focus is to us. And even the phrases that we use to describe focus, like buckle down, put your nose to the grindstone, grab the bull by the horns, they're so masculine, so masculine. So what if we could get it all done and invite some creativity, some pleasure, and some play into the mix? It might feel better, right? Especially for us. And in fact, what if that creativity and pleasure and play actually made it easier to get things done? And truth be told, that has absolutely been my experience. The more I focus on really savoring and enjoying the journey, whether it's eating a meal or cooking my dinner or launching a program, the more easily it all seems to just flow together seamlessly. And so as it turns out, what I've discovered, not that I'm the first person to have ever discovered this, is that stress and tightness are actually just wasted energy that could be channeled through your work creatively. So much more fun. So I want you to get out your notebook and pen. I'm going to go over focal point number one. So focal point number one is try easier. Try easier. So one of my clients, I cannot claim responsibility for that awesome phrase. Somebody actually handed it to me. I thought it was so awesome. She said that she was trying really, 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 really hard with somebody, with something, and one of her friends said, "Hey, you've been trying so hard. What if you just try it easier?" And she thought, well, there is a novel idea. And so that's what I'm offering to you, try easier. So right now, we're going to do a little, we're going to write some stuff down. I want you to think of one thing that you are putting off, but you know you need to do it. You may have several. I'm sure we all do. I have several. We all have things on our list that we're putting off that we need to do. And that's okay. But just choose one right now and write it down. So choose one thing that you've been putting off and you know eventually you need to do it. Just write it down. I want you to think of how long it will take to make the first steps. So, for example, if you just wrote down that you've been putting off writing copy for your website, well, that's a lot of steps. So what's the first step? Is it to write the about page? I want you to think about what the first step is and then write down how long will it take. So write down the first step and how long it will take. And be generous here so you have extra time if you need it. Don't be stingy. Fantastic. The next thing you're going to do is think of what you could do to make it fun. I mean, you have to do it anyway. Whether it's the laundry or writing the sales page for your website, if it's something you got to do, it's something you've got to do. So how could you make it fun? To give you a personal example, a couple of nights ago, I had a bunch of emails and I zeroed out my inbox, meaning I replied to everything, while watching the movie Clueless, which, nerd alert, is one of my favorite movies. Hilarious. Reminds me of 9th grade or 10th grade. But I watched this movie, I drank a glass of wine, and I emptied out my inbox. And it was enjoyable. It was actually an enjoyable process. I made work more fun. So I want you to think of what could you do to make it more enjoyable. And just write down one or two things that you could do. And now, and this is very important, do not put this off. I want you to schedule that task, that first step, into your calendar for this week. So if you don't have your calendar in front of you, you might want to write down when you think you're going to be able to do it. Make sure you highlight it or put a big circle around it or a star beside it so that right after this call you can go find your calendar and put it in there. But you're going to schedule this one important thing in this week, and we're going to test out what it's like to try easier, to make work like play. All right, that's focal point number one. Focal point number two of making your work play is to find a feminine focal point. So let me explain what I mean. Often, and my workspace now is basically my laptop, which travels around the world with me because I seem to be fairly nomadic these days. I don't always get to say what my workspace is going to look like. Sometimes it's a noisy cafe. Sometimes it's, you know, I was working on a ferry a couple of months ago. My workplace moves around. But there's almost always something that I can do to bring more feminine energy into my workspace wherever I am. Whether it's for you an office whether it's your home office, whether it's a coffee shop, but bringing a little piece of feminine energy into your workspace by choosing a feminine focal point. So a feminine focal point is something like a candle, flowers, something that causes your nervous system to go, oh, when you see it. I've had clients choose a crystal or a little statue that they like, and then carry it around to coffee shops and put it on their laptop while they're working. But something beautiful to look at while you're working so that you don't continually reach to distractions. You can just look back at your feminine focal point to anchor you. So either when you get off this call or even right now, I want you to think of something that you already own or have that you can put in your workspace tomorrow. If you're not working tomorrow, lucky you, you can put it in your workspace whenever the next day is that you work. But something that you already own or have that you can put in your workspace and just try it out for tomorrow. See what it's like to have a feminine focal point. All right, fantastic. So let's move along. We're going to talk now about step two in the four steps to feminine focus. By the way, I just want to say this is so fun for me, so enjoyable and fun for me. So thank you. So step two is flirt with fear. Oh, my goodness, do we ever hate fear? We are always trying to smash fear and crush it and squash it and even overcome it. But here's the thing. Fear is as natural as every other emotion that you could possibly have. It's as natural as happiness and sadness. It's as natural as anger and frustration. Fear is a natural emotion. And as an ambitious woman who wants to make a difference in the world, as I'm imagining you are, your fears may be loud or be getting even louder by the day. And I link this to what I call the ecology of ambition, which I talk more about in my program. But the gist of it is that it's natural that you will feel your fears intensify the farther you step out of your comfort zone. Because fear's job is to keep you safe. Now, fortunately, for most of us in our modern lives, there isn't much that we actually need to fear. I, for one, have never been chased by a lion or a tiger. Unfortunately, that fear still shows up when we're about to take other risks that aren't life-threatening, like falling in love, moving, quitting our jobs, or teaching a teleclass. And fear when there is no threat of losing our life doesn't keep us safe, it keeps us stuck. Fear when there is no threat of losing our life doesn't keep us safe, it keeps us stuck. And you're in this for the long haul. Whether you're a mom or an entrepreneur or a woman dedicated to a mission, it is a marathon and not a sprint. And in that marathon, highs will happen and lows will happen. And really, it's how we navigate those highs and lows that matters. So we're going to talk about focal point number three. This is another good time to get out your pen and paper. So let's all just declare right now in our own little way that we are going to stop fearing fear and hating fear so much. Because as far as I can see, it's not actually doing any good and it seems to be a big waste of energy. Instead, what if we were all just a little more gentle to ourselves when we were afraid? And the way I like to think of it is, imagine that you had a little girl and your little girl were afraid. How would you want to be with her? Would you be angry at her for being afraid? You tell her she's stupid and she needs to get over it and suck it up? No. you have a healthy relationship with that little girl, you'd want to be gentle with her, encouraging and supportive. And because fear gets more intense as we approach risks, I want to give you something when that happens. So the next time you feel fear, I'm going to ask that you, A, be really gentle with yourself. And then, B, I'm going to ask that you say to yourself, I'm getting closer to what I want. Recognize that fear is coming up because you're getting closer to what you want. And I'd like you to perhaps write that down in big letters. Fear equals, I'm getting closer to what I want. So focal point number 3, see fear as a good sign because you're getting closer to what you want. Focal point number 4 is one of my favorite distinctions, I think, of this call. Focal point number 4 is to be willing to make mistakes. Be willing to make mistakes. As I said, highs will happen and lows will happen. And there is a great quote by Winston Churchill. He said, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. So again, in case you're a note-taking nerd like me, I'll read it again. Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. And that courage to continue is born from a willingness to make mistakes. Because play is the alchemy of fun and curiosity. I believe that play is the marriage of fun and curiosity. I have a new morning mantra for you. This is another one to write down. I want you to approach every morning being willing to make mistakes by telling yourself every morning, I am excited to play with the world today. I'm excited to play with the world today. All right, we are going to move on to step 3 of finding your feminine focus. And step 3 is visualize to strategize. Visualize to strategize. So we often cling to the idea that we need to figure out what to do. We need to know what strategy to take. It's all familiar, I'm sure, to all of you. We want to figure out exactly what are our right next steps. And I am all for strategy. I'm not knocking it. Having a plan is critical to our long-term success. However, what is a map good for when you don't have a compass or know where you're headed? And so often I see women desperately trying to figure out what to do, and they're either taking plenty of action but feeling a ton of self-doubt about whether or not they're making the right choices, or they're paralyzed and procrastinating because they're unclear about what they want. So for focal points 5 and 6, we're actually going to do an exercise right now. So focal point number 5 is called align for action. Align for action. You can put everything down for a moment. You're going to get the call recording, so you can take notes on this later if you want. I want you to just do the exercise right now. So just close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to see an image of yourself 3 years from now. I call this a future memory. And just notice where you are. Are you at the beach? Are you in bed? Where are you? Where in the world are you? Notice what you smell, feel. Are you tasting anything? What do you see around you? And notice the things that you can't see with your eyes. What are the circumstances of your life? Where do you live? What's going on in your world? And I just want you to simply return back to the present moment. And as you do that, I want you to envision that there is a beam of light that radiates out from your body. For me, I can sort of feel it out from my solar plexus. You might feel it from your whole body or your sort of third eye. But some beam of light that connects you now, here, today, listening to me talk, to the you of 3 years from now that you just saw. An energetic connection. This is your orientation towards what you desire. The vision that you have for yourself includes sights and smells and sounds and all sorts of things, feelings. And you might not have seen exactly all the details. That's okay. It doesn't matter. Hopefully you felt it. And if you felt it, then you're connected, energetically aligned to that future vision. Now, you can take action all day long. We can all take action all day long. We can take plenty of action. But how do you know whether or not you're taking the right action? Well, you can simply feel into whether or not you are pointing in that right direction. Are you being pulled, led by that beam of light? Does it feel like it's a step on that path or a step off of that path? Now, this is hard to quantify. I can't put a lot of math around it. But what I can say is that for myself and for the women who have done this exercise, who feel that sense of energetic alignment and then notice what the right step is to take based on that feeling of energetic alignment, it has the feeling of trusting our gut. And you're much less likely to regret your decisions or feel like you're wasting your time when you're doing things that you feel like are an expression of you trusting your gut. So I'm just going to give you a minute here to write down anything that you saw. And realizations that you had when you did that visualization. And perhaps if you notice or noticed, what is the first step? What is the very next step to take in that direction that would be energetically aligned? Great. So that's what I call aligning for action. Getting your masculine in service of your feminine, as my friend Liana Silver says. Focal point number 6 is to map it out. Map it out. So this exercise is something that I, as a coach, do for my clients. And it's also something that I do when I'm creating my programs. It's something that I did when I was creating this call, in fact. And it's something that you can also do in your own life. So as I outline the exercise, I want you to consider both. If you do work with people, if you're a coach like me or a helper or a healer, if you work with clients, you can certainly think about how you can use this to work with them towards their goals individually or to create programs or offerings or teleclasses. For now, we're going to do it for you. So we're going to write some stuff out. First of all, I want you to write down a goal that you have, something that you'd like in your life. Next, in relation to that goal, where are you in your life now? Like, how are you doing with it? So if your goal is to be madly in love, what are just the simple facts of your life right now? And try to see if you can not dramatize it. not say things like, I suck at relationships, I'm awful, I sabotage everything, but instead, I'm single, I'm dating. If you can take the drama out of where you are now in relation to your goal. Next, I want you to think above and beyond that goal. What is your big dream here? What would you love to have happen? Just give you half a minute here to write that out. What would you love to happen with that? Okay, wonderful. Now we're going to break this goal down. This is the first step of mapping it out. So, noticing where you are now, noticing the goal that you have off in the distance, noticing a bigger dream that surrounds all of it, surrounds you, that goal. I want you to think of a drop-off spot. Somewhere on the way to that goal, what is a drop-off spot? So here's what I mean. If your big goal is to lose 100 pounds, what's a good first drop-off spot? Could it be fitting into last summer's swimsuit? If your big goal is, when I was working with clients around emotional eating, often the big goal was to have total freedom with food. And a drop-off point that we would look at to break it down is, well, let's see if we can have you stop binging at night. So what is a drop-off spot? Now you've come to a place where your goal is easier to reach. If it's finding the love of your life, maybe it's setting up that profile online, that dating profile. If it's to have closer relationships with women, ton of awesome friendships, maybe your drop-off point is to reach out to a few friends that you haven't reached out to for a while. And when we get off this call, what I want you to do, and if you can right now, start to look at what are some of the steps that you need to take to get there, to that first drop-off spot. Just to give you some context, when I created this teleclass, I had to think of what is the drop-off spot of the teleclass? Where do I want to take people? And then from there, it was easier to break down steps to create stuff that we could take action around. Now, I just want to make a note here. If you are a coach or a helper in whatever way, and you're doing this with a client or a friend or somebody that you're working with, you'll probably have the answers about many of the things that they could do to get to that drop-off point, to get to that place, that landmark. If it's for you, this might be a little harder, because sometimes we need the guidance of people who have been there. And this is where sisterhood and support make a big difference once you're clear where you want to go. But often you can find the first few steps yourself. We're going to move on to step number 4 in finding your feminine focus. And step number 4 has been one of the most meaningful in my life, one of the most value-giving, the one that I know I will never, ever, ever forget. Step 4 is to share with your sisters. Very often, we do this work. We think about what we want. We write down goals. We create to-do lists. We rework our calendar. We rework our to-do list. And we hold our dreams really tightly inside of our hearts. And that's awesome. And what I've noticed is that we often don't share what we're up to because we're afraid. We're afraid that if we don't get there or we don't put in the work, we're going to be embarrassed, feel ashamed. We're afraid that people might think, who are you? You're never going to accomplish that. Or, I've heard that before. All right, I'll believe it when I see it. So very often we stop sharing what we're up to, what we want, what we're working on, what we're fearful of. We often just stop sharing. And I'll just share with you a big thing that's happened for me in the last few years is that I went through a divorce. I don't know if you can hear that, but there are sirens going by outside of the window. It was very dramatic. No, it wasn't that dramatic. But in the last 2 years, I went through a divorce. And leading up to that divorce, as you can imagine, there was a lot of back and forth. It's not, I didn't, you know, wake up one day and, you know, one day I was happy and the next day I thought, oh, I'll get a divorce today. It wasn't like that. There were years of challenges leading up to it. There really is a big fire happening outside. There were years of challenges leading up to my divorce. And in the beginning, I shared a lot of those challenges with my mom and with my girlfriends, with the women in my life, the close women. And I would tell them what was going on, sometimes in a really empowered way, and sometimes I would just vent. But I would share. And then I started to become embarrassed because I would get their advice. Or I would feel like I should know what to do. And I was embarrassed to keep telling them how hard it was. So I wouldn't talk about arguments. I wouldn't talk about the things that were going on inside of me. And all of that energy has to go somewhere. All of that sadness, the frustration, the overwhelm, it has to go somewhere. And so where it went was into my work. And I became a total workaholic. Now, I had already gone through the part of my life where I used food as a crutch. And now it was work. So I would get in an argument instead of phoning a friend to really talk about it and get support. I would just run to my laptop. My laptop is not a counselor. It's not a coach. It's not a good friend. It's a laptop. So it didn't give me the outlet, the healing that I needed. In fact, it was a really unhealthy way of managing my pain. So when we stop sharing with our sisters, when we close up, and when shame wins the game, all of that pent-up energy is going to go somewhere. And your body might store it. It might make you anxious, sick, certainly frustrated or overwhelmed, feeling lonely. And it can also manifest as compulsions, using other things to soothe you rather than taking the lid off and sharing with a friend. So it's really important that we share our challenges and our desires. And I love this quote by Marianne Williamson when she says, as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give others permission to do the same. And so it is our responsibility as women in these times to stand up and to share what's really going on with us, not just for us, but for our friends, for our sisters, for our mothers, and for our girls. We need to start creating a space, again, a campfire space, where it's safe to share, where it's okay to not know and to be upset and to share your challenges. And it's equally okay to share all the awesome things that you're up to and what you want, your desires and your ambitions. So focal point number 7 is simply share. Right now, I want you to think of one woman that you're going to share with. You're going to share where you are, and be sure to share the whole story, the frustrating parts, the parts that you're excited about, what's great, what's not so great, what you're doing about it, and what you'd love support with. And absolutely, absolutely ask her where she is and support her in sharing her whole story. And what I'd like you to do, now that you've thought of that one woman and you've got your marching orders, is to call, text, or email her immediately after this call. That should be the first thing you do to set that up, to set that conversation, brunch, phone date, Skype date, whatever it is. So I'm going to quickly recap so far what we've been through. Step 1 is to make your work play. Focal point number 1 is to think of one thing you've put off, put it in your calendar, and find a way to play your way through it this week. Focal point number 2 was to bring feminine energy into your workspace by choosing a feminine focal point. Step 2 is to flirt with fear. And our focal points there are to be gentle, encouraging, supportive, and kind to your fear voices, as if they were the fears of a young girl. And to be willing to make mistakes. You have a new morning mantra. I'm excited to play with the world today. Step 3 is visualize to strategize, where we're feeling that beam of light connecting us with our future memory so we can find the next step. And we're mapping out where we or our clients are headed and noticing what's actually required to get us there. And step 4 is share with your sisters, and our focal point is to choose at least one woman to share your whole story with and hear hers, bear witness to hers, and make sure that you call, text, or email her right after this call to get that set up. My intention for this call is that all of you, everyone, walk away with a real sense for the value of sisterhood and the incredible creativity that we can experience and the accomplishments that we can make in the space of sisterhood. My intention is also that you all feel excited and inspired and more clear about how to put some simple steps into action. And I hope I've done a good job of making everything really actionable so you can get way more value out of this hour than the time that you've invested. Some of you are going to take everything I've shared and just put it into action. And to all of you, I say, fabulous, rock on. I cannot wait to hear all the things that come out of this. And there are some of you who may be craving even more, more integration on a deeper level, more sisterhood on a deeper level, more fun and play and joy and success. And for all of you, I'm really excited to announce a brand new fierce, fabulous, and free program called the Virtual Sisterhood. And the website for it is thevirtualsisterhood.com. And it's officially launching tomorrow. So you're the first woman outside of my team to see it. And I'm really, really, really proud of this program, which I describe as a course in living. Because like I've said, we have to live the way that we want to give. And really, this course is a course I've wanted to create for nearly 10 years. It's amazing to see how it's come together. And I'm just so thrilled to share it with all of you. It's been a passion project of mine, years in the making. And I'm not going to say much more about it because you can all see it at thevirtualsisterhood.com. But I will say that the 6 weeks of the program are based on the six C's that I really wanted when I was stuck in overwhelm. And those are how we break out our 6 weeks. And they're about creating a deep sense of internal clarity, the courage to take big leaps, a feeling of calm, confidence, consistency in your actions, big, bold creativity, and like-minded community. And I think the program is an absolute steal because I wanted to make sure that I way over-delivered. So I think the price is great. And also, the first 20 women who enroll in the program will receive a signed hardcover copy of the 4-Hour Workweek, as well as a copy of one of my all-time faves, which is the Fire Starter Sessions. And those are really two texts in creating more freedom in your business and your life. So if you do choose to join, I welcome you. I can't wait to get to know you better. And thank you for bearing witness to this birthing of my new program. And on that note, I would love to take your questions. So we're going to open up the line. And we're going to take your questions about anything we discussed on this call. So here's how this is going to work. To raise your hand, you can press *2. And then I'll see your little hand pop up and I can select your hand. Or if you're listening online, you can simply type a question into the question box. So *2 to raise your hand or type a question into the question box. Just bear with me for one moment. Oh, my call software is so wonderful. It put the raised hands at the top. All right, so I'm taking a call from someone whose phone number starts with 801 and ends with 8550. So hello, are you there?
Yep. Can you hear me?
Hi. I can hear you.
Hi, Nisha.
Hi. Who's this?
My name is Mia. I live in Utah. And I have a business doing 1940s and 50s pinup photography for women.
Freaking awesome.
I love
that.
It's so much fun. Look it up. It's called Pinup Jane.
Pinup Jane, J-A-N-E?
Yep, just like the name. My tagline is taking you from plain Jane to pinup dame. So
awesome.
One thing that I deal with so much with my clients and have dealt with so much in my own life is, I would say, most pertinent to step number one on the focal point where you're saying find a feminine focal point, because I find so much for myself in this journey of starting my business and focusing on it. I was trying to, like, be really masculine and directed and focused and goal-oriented, and it just doesn't work for me. And so what I've really noticed is so crucial is for me to have a fulfilling, well-rounded life. It's important for me to bring that femininity in. And so I would love to hear any ideas that you have on how, because I've just seen how different it is for all women. I've found a few ways for me that I can, like, shift back into my femininity or, like, make sure that I'm making that a part of what I'm doing. But when I get that there's, like, more ways that I haven't even discovered that I can do that. And also when I'm talking to my clients about this, especially those of them that are career oriented, I'm just at a loss. Like, I need a list of ways that we can basically bring the feminine back.
Sure. Great. So I'm imagining, and correct me if I'm not catching it well, but I'm imagining that what happens is you feel some sort of sense of, like, overdrive or contraction, or, like, you just feel too driven in a way that it feels dry or something, like, not, doesn't feel like
yeah.
It's flowing.
Okay.
Is that accurate?
Yeah. And then what I hear a lot of these other women talking about too is, like, when they when they, if they work from home, when they step out of their office at the end of the day, or when they come home from work at the end of the day and they're with their husband and their kids, it's like there's no attraction there and there's no compatibility, and it's hard to like become nurturing when they've been driven all day. Does that make sense?
Yeah, makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense. This is an awesome question. So the first thing that I could say is that feminine energy is sensing, feeling, intuitive kind of energy, right? It's not super like thinking, action-oriented energy. It's like feeling, intuitive, sensing energy. And so the best way that I know to get back to that feeling or to that energy is to go back to our body. And, you know, I used to think like, okay, well, I could take a bubble bath. I could eat a piece of chocolate. I could have a glass of wine. Like, I had all these things, and it's true. I could do those. But I could also sit in the bathtub, like, running through a list in my head of all the things that weren't right in my life and how frustrated I was, what I wasn't doing right and what I should be doing. You know what I mean, right? I know you're laughing.
Yeah.
So there's a way that we can have a super masculine bath. And so those tools are awesome. And often, like, you know, what happens is we'll dance or have a bubble bath or something, and it'll sort of snap us back into our body, and then we'll feel that feminine energy. But not every person who comes home and walks into the house, you know, seeing the house mess and dishes, feels like, is able to just be like, I'm just going to go take a bath for an hour, right? Sometimes we can. But sometimes it's as simple as just taking a deep breath and just reconnecting with our body. Like, I am here now, and being here now does not mean being in my head. It means being, hanging out in my body, just noticing the sensations in my body, feeling my body, noticing if there's something I need to do to take care of me. And that's critical. So going back into our body, and then the last thing that I said is, what do I need to do to take care of me? And I'm speaking from experience here. A lot of us women will fall into this place where we want to be taken care of so badly, and we're kind of like, you know, energetically speaking, we have like our arms crossed and a scowl on our face, and we're like, take, come on, I'm waiting. Like, I take care of you. Can you take care of me? I take care of you all the time. It doesn't usually work very well. And then even if they take care of us, we still have that sort of scowly energy. And the problem is, I'm going to say 99.9 times out of 100, not that they're not taking great care of us. It's often that we're not taking great care of ourselves. And as soon as we sort of, if you walk in the door and the house is a mess and you feel that wave of frustration, for example, or you're sitting and you're working and you feel that tension in your body and you're sort of on overdrive and you're feeling nervous, whatever it may be, you sort of take a deep breath and reconnect with your body and just ask, what do I need? What do I need to give myself right now? What do I need to do right now for me? All of a sudden, we're in an empowered state. And it might be, honey, you need to get up and go for a walk. Honey, you need to go eat a raspberry. Honey, you need to, you know, play some music. You need to have a shower. It's 4 o'clock and you're still on your computer. Go have a shower, for goodness sake. So all these solutions, right? That's when all of those tips, like having a bath, eating raspberries, whatever, become useful, because they were guided from the inside, not just a list of things that we could do. I'm not saying it doesn't work the other way around, just going to have a bath or eating raspberries. However, there's a way that we can arrive at what that action is, even that super nourishing action, just from asking, what do we need to do for ourselves? Is that helpful?
Yeah, that's amazing. Thank you. That's
you
very,
are so
very
awesome.
Beautiful to like, also, and empowering to be in keeping with the fact that we have our own answers, and I have my own answers in the moment, And that individual will have their own answers too. That's wonderful.
Indeed. And it's about taking good care of ourselves. Yeah.
the womanly trap of making sure everyone else eats dinner, but we forget to.
You got it. You got it. Yeah, thank you so much for being the non-me voice on this call. I honor that and appreciate you, you know, sharing with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, more questions. Press star 2 and your little hand will pop up, or again, you can type in questions on the Q&A. Okay. Oh, I have a bunch of questions that have been typed in. So I'm going to take one of these next. Bear with me for a moment. I'm going to take a sip of water. Okay, so I got a great question online, and she asked, I often feel crippled. By the way, whoever asked this question, I'm not invalidating you by not sharing your name. It's just that perhaps you want to be remain anonymous. So the question, and I'll answer this other question first. Somebody asked, what's the URL for the program? It's thevirtualsisterhood.com. TheVirtualSisterhood.com. Somebody took VirtualSisterhood.com. Anyway, the question is, I often feel crippled by fear when it comes to standing up for myself, especially when it upsets others. How can I work through this? Holy smokes, this is a great question. This is like the million-dollar question. I'm going to say it again. I often feel crippled by fear when it comes to standing up for myself, especially when it upsets others. How can I work through this? So I have a lot to say on this. I could probably talk a whole another hour, which I will not do on this question alone. But I will say that I am of the belief that the only way that anyone wins, like win-win is the only way that anyone wins in relationships. I don't think that one person loses and the other person wins. And what I mean by that is, if we all look back on different parts of our lives, I'm sure there are several experiences that any one of us can pull from where in the moment it was awful. It was awful. We didn't want it. I mean, I'm thinking of, you know, the time that any number of broke up with me throughout my life, like different things like that. And I didn't want it. They wanted it. I didn't want it. I felt like I was totally losing. This was awful. And they felt like that's what they needed to do for themselves, to take care of themselves, to be authentically in integrity with what it is that they felt and needed. Looking back, I'm like super glad that I got dumped because my life is where it is now because of all of those experiences. And it's okay. And if we allow ourselves, I think we can really see that any challenging thing we've been through in our life has delivered us to where we are now, and in many ways, and I'm not saying that horrible things that happen are good or that we needed them or that they're good for us. I want to be really clear about that. But what I'm saying is that they, in whatever way, brought us to where we are now. And so when I'm making decisions, and it depends on the decision, I have to consult with my gut. And depending on the relationship with the person, I'm going to have to also take them into consideration. What I want to say to the person who asked this question is that sometimes in standing for yourself, other people aren't going to like it. And you have to get kind of okay with that. Like that's just part of life. You know, sometimes when we've had experiences in our lives that we didn't want at the time, and somebody just said, like, this is what I need to do for me, and it was a healthy decision for me, we can sort of look back and say, huh, okay, like, it brought me to a greater good. And there is a way that when we let go of the fear of upsetting them and just focus on being honest. And that means loving, because honestly, we are loving. But being honest without blaming or shaming other people, but just speaking our truth, there's a space that we create where the communication is much more clear. When it's not clean, it's because we're pointing fingers, blaming, accusing, you ruined my life, and this happened, and this is why I can't, you know. When it's us speaking our truth and being accountable to what we need, it occurs much differently. So I would say to really, as you're going into interactions, when you need to stand up for yourself, look at how can you really, again, and this really is beautifully ties into what Mia said, how can we actually be responsible for ourselves, for what we need, without blaming or shaming anyone else, but just being responsible for what we need. All right, awesome questions. I'm going to take one more question, and this is from someone whose phone number starts with 347 and ends with 7291. Hello, are you there?
Hi, this is Amy speaking.
Amy, hi.
How are you today? You're doing wonderful, by the way. I love you.
Oh, thank you. Love that.
Yes.
You're cheerleading. Awesome. Thank you, Amy.
Yes. So my question really, I'm speaking for all the women that have this kind of, like, focus on whatever they want to do and, you know, their goals, and they get lost in this mechanical kind of, like, masculine energy that you're speaking of, and they don't know how to maybe, like, be nourishing or nurturing or very loving in relationships because of this energy that has taken over, you know, for their dreams to come true, or, you know, you can even, like, you find all this masculine energy everywhere. Any book that you read, most of them, you know, like, want to bring that out of you so you can make it. And I come from the hood, so it's like this is also what I saw growing up. And, yeah, it's like, I guess this is a really gangster chic question, but I really want to know how you can just, like, move away from that energy and kind of, like, tie in your femininity and have the femininity as your foundation, your strong foundation. And,
Great. Do you understand? Yes, I do. And is the question more about how to do that in relationships?
Yeah, in relationships, and how not to have that fear of being alone in the future, like, letting things unfold naturally. How femininity, like, lets you.
Great question. Okay, I have a few things to say here. I hope people can stick around for this answer. Thank you for asking this question, by the way. I think it's something that a lot of us women think about and wonder about, so thank you. I've thought about this a lot myself, especially being that I have been divorced. So I was in a marriage, neglected my relationship very, very much, was super nurturing, and then sort of went into a space where I wasn't nurturing, and in fact was kind of like, oh yeah, well, if you're not going to take care of me, I'm not going to take care of you. Why should I always have to do everything? And I was married to a great guy. There was nothing wrong with him. You know, we just had, we just got to that place. And so your question about how to be nurturing in relationships, the thing that I would like everyone on this call to start asking themselves is, how do I want this to feel? How do I want this to feel? How do I want this relationship to feel? How do I want this interaction to feel? When we focus on how we want something to feel instead of the fear that we might lose it or that it might go away or that this person might not love us as much as they should, by all of the head trips that we can go on, when we focus on how we want it to feel, then it becomes the responsibility of us actually creating that feeling. So what I realized, and I'm in an awesome relationship now, where I do
congratulations.
Feel really, thank you. Where I do feel really nurturing and taken care of too, and really feminine and masculine. We all have both of it in us.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel really nurturing and like I'm enjoying being in a relationship, not, you know, running on a gazillion head trips. Now, I'm human, so I have them too, but they don't rule me. And what feels like is ruling this relationship is this leading question that I have, which is how do I want to feel? So if how I want to feel is loved and supported and taken care of, then how I need to be is loving, supportive, and caring. Because if I sort of fold my arms and wait for you to be loving, supportive, and caring,
it's a reflection.
Right? So there's this saying that, you know, relationships are 50-50. Like you put in your 50%, you put in your 50%.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard this distinction once. I didn't make it up, but I heard it elsewhere, which is relationships are 100-100. And if I want my relationship to feel this way, it's my job to actually bring that feeling into the relationship. And also to notice when it's time to, you know, maybe it's time to end the relationship. Sometimes that time comes. Maybe it's time to get support in it because we feel like we really are trying and it's just not working and we need to go get outside help. But the answer is never saying, well, I want to feel this way and I'm going to hold back and let you make me feel that way. And again, going back to everything that we've been talking about in these last few questions about taking responsibility and accountability for our own joy. And femininity is all about savoring. It's all about luxuriating in and enjoying. And so if we approach everything in life, eating dinner, going on a date, an argument, from the space of how can I be really present in this moment? How can we actually enjoy, how can I enjoy this? How can we enjoy this process? We are in a way better, more empowered space.
How can you, like a sub question, how may you like bring that power in through work, like through your work or through your like very, you know, like masculine focused mentality of making it or making that goal yours, or how can
I think, the first thing is to recognize that there's a vision that all of us have of success that isn't just about working our butts off and making a bunch of money. Like, it's about having a nice life, too, right? Having a good life, being able to, you know, go out for dinner and have a, you know, beautiful meal, being able to, you know, travel, being able to do all those things. And so if we want to be successful, why would we not actually do everything we could right now to feel successful? So I feel more successful when I'm taking care of myself. I feel more successful when I'm, you know, closing the laptop at a certain time and going out for dinner. I feel more successful when I actually start living, like I said, the way that I want to give. And so the way to bring more of that in is to recognize the path to success is not paved in struggle. The path to success is, it's not always going to be easy, I'm not saying that, but there are ways that we can savor more and that we can actually feel more successful on our way. Right? So, great. Thank you so much for your question. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you a lot.
Thank you. Thank you. Everyone, I want to thank you for being on this call tonight. I have enjoyed so deeply being here with you. I can feel all of you around the campfire with me. And I just really appreciate the time that you've given for yourself for this conversation. I appreciate the energy that you have brought to the campfire. I appreciate you cheerleading me. I can feel you wanting me to win, wanting me to feel great during this call. I appreciate that. You supporting me and fanning my flames in sisterhood. And I just appreciate you for being you, for wanting to make a difference in the world, for asking yourself these sometimes confusing and challenging questions that we need more of us to be asking. So thank you. I would love to stay connected with all of you. The new program that I've created is thevirtualsisterhood.com. I'd love to see several of your beautiful faces on the other side of that program. And I look forward again to staying connected. So have a fantastic night, everyone. Thank you for being here, and goodbye.